Welcome to Outbeat Radio on KRCB Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m.
This is Living Proof, and we're your hosts. I'm Diana Grayer, and next to me is my co-host and wife, Sheridan Gold. Happy New Year, everybody. I love when I say that. I say that all the time like that. It's funny. So anyways, on tonight's show, we will be talking to two different people, women that is, and hearing their inspirational stories, how important their personal work is, and how they are making changes in their lives. So through their journeys, hopefully, listening to their journeys, hopefully you will be inspired and encouraged to set your own intentions for the new year. Thank you so very much for listening in. So we want you to, thank you to, just move towards soul and to move toward your hopes and dreams. So that's what we're going to be talking about tonight.
We have two guests that are going to be joining us tonight, one in studio and one on the phone a little bit later. In studio, we have Dr. Karen Greenspan, a local psychologist who has a new practice in Petaluma. So welcome, Karen.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so great to have you here. Get to know you.
Good to be here.
And later in the show, we're going to be talking with Mercedes Gibson, a woman who's on a mission to transform her life through performance. She'll be joining us on the phone a little bit later. So we want you to think about things while we break for news. Di is going to tell you about them in a minute.
Yeah. So, we want you to think about what you want to let go of, what you want to keep for this new year, and what you want to add to your life this new year. And so, think about whatever goals or dreams that you might be having, that you might be thinking about. And we will talk about that later in the show. And we're going to have a sharing. We're going to go have a go around. So,
first,
we're going to have news and events with Greg Moralia.
Good evening. This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio News for Sunday, January 2nd, 2011. We thought it would be interesting this week to share with you some of the highlights of 2010 from Wayne Beeson, a gay blogger and website owner. Here is his year in review, the LGBT Top 10. Number 10. The lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender movement was infused with energy through the creation of new advocacy organizations. Among the most notable was Get Equal, a direct action group that made headlines by confronting politicians at events to hold them accountable for campaign promises. Number 9. The ex-gay industry was on the rebound earlier this year, led by the American College of Pediatricians. The organization came crashing down this year as its lead researcher, George Reckers, was caught vacationing with an escort he met on rentboy.com. Number 8. In early 2010, the American Prayer Hour was started by Truth Wins Out to stop Uganda's notorious anti-homosexuality bill. The event highlighted the role those involved with the National Prayer Breakfast played in fomenting anti-gay hatred in Uganda. Number 7. For the first time, a Gallup poll found that the percentage of Americans who perceived gay and lesbian relations as morally acceptable crossed the 50% mark. Number 6. Another Gallup poll showed that 53% of Americans oppose marriage equality compared to 44% who support it. These improved numbers set a clear trend towards acceptance and highlight the possibility that majority support is attainable within the near future. Number 5. The Southern Poverty Law Center's new listing of major anti-gay organizations, such as the Family Research Council and the American Family Association, as certified hate groups was a significant blow to their credibility. Number 4. A federal judge in Boston ruled in July in two separate lawsuits that a key part of the Federal Defense of Marriage Act is unconstitutional. Number 3. The federal lawsuit to overturn California's Proposition 8 prohibiting same-sex marriage in the Golden State was a significant development. In an unusual twist, liberal super lawyer David Boyce joined conservative legal icon Ted Olson to send the message that equality should not be a partisan issue. Number 2. Following an outbreak of LGBT teen suicides, columnist Dan Savage launched the It Gets Better campaign, which let gay teens know that if they hung in there, life would improve after high school. And of course, number one, repealing Don't Ask, Don't Tell was a monumental victory. Not only was this an impressive and meaningful legislative win, but the fight for repeal flooded the media with positive gay and lesbian role models, which significantly undermined the propaganda of anti-gay organizations. What an exciting year 2010 was. Now here's what's coming up this week in the North Bay's LGBT community. On Monday, January 3rd, LGBTQI Insight Meditation Group will meet in Santa Rosa, 7:15 to 9 p.m., The group meets twice a month for an evening of meditation and discussion about Buddha's teaching. Also, the Napa Unity League will host a mixer and meeting at River Point Resort, 500 Lincoln Ave in Napa, from 6 to 8 p.m. On Tuesday, January 4th, the trans group meets at Positive Images at 312 Chin Street in Santa Rosa from 6 to 7:30 p.m. This meeting is for all trans-identified and questioning persons, as well as family, friends, and allies. And on Wednesday, January 5th, Marin County Women Seeking Women will gather at Jason's Restaurant at 300 Drake's Landing Road in Greenbrae from 6 to 8 p.m. And on Thursday, January 6th, Positive Images resumes its weekly meetings for LGBT youth 12 to 25 years old from 7 to 9 p.m. at Santa Rosa High School. Just look for the signs at the front door in the main building. And on Saturday, January 8th, the Russian River Sisters will host their first bingo of 2011, which will benefit their operating fund. It all happens at Oddfellows Hall at 16219 First Street in Guerneville. And finally, the Women's Wisdom Circle begins Tuesday, January 11th, and will meet for 6 weeks every other week, ending March 15th. This group meets to discover, explore, and strengthen access to the inner wisdom of body and soul. For more information, call 707-545-7446. And for more information about the events you just heard, go to www.gaysonoma.com. And if you have an event you'd like to share with our listeners, tell us about it by going to our website at outbeatradio.com. Just click on Outbeat News and fill out the simple form. For Gary Carnevale, I'm Greg Moraglia. Happy New Year, everyone. Now back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greyer.
And thank you for joining us. If you just joined us, we have in studio with us tonight Dr. Karen Greenspan. And we are talking about New Year, new hopes, new dreams.
And following soul.
Yeah. So welcome.
Welcome.
Thank you.
Here we are on this New Year, second of January. And I just want to say how we came about this show tonight is Sharon and I sent out emails to different email lists, and we invited people who want to come on to talk about soul and talk about their hopes and their dreams. And Dr. Karen Greenspan answered the call. So
that's right.
So tell us what motivated you to, you know, get inspired by the topic.
Well, you know, with the new year, it's a time when we reflect on the past, but we also look forward into the future. And for me, starting a private practice, I felt like I was taking a step forward into the future. So when I saw your post, I was like, hey, that's what I'm thinking about these days.
So let's go further. Talk about what that is. Mm-hmm. What are you
What am I practicing?
Yeah, practicing.
I have a private psychotherapy practice in Petaluma now. And I've kind of been on this journey for about 10 years, really. I started a while ago when I wasn't feeling fulfilled in the job that I was doing. So took a good look at what inspired me. And that was working with people. So I thought then was the time to make a change. I didn't realize it was going to take me so long to make this change. But it's been an incredible journey. And so I graduated with my doctorate in 2009.
Yay!
Congratulations. Woo! That's a lot of work.
Thank you. It is a lot of work. And then I just finished my residency, you know, a few months ago, got licensed, all that stuff. So I was looking at next steps. And logically for me, it was to go into private practice. So that's kind of my journey.
Wow.
It feeds my soul, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah. Yeah. What about it?
You know, it's something about working with people. I was in, the position I was in before was, you know, I've done a lot of like nonprofit social services work, which I really, really loved. But I got away from it for a while when I started doing more on the funding side, you know, and it became more reading proposals and that kind of thing. So I just felt disconnected from people and I really missed it. And I really enjoy working one-on-one and in groups. So it was just kind of a natural switch for me. But it did take a lot of thought. I did, for the listeners out there, I did put a lot of effort into thinking about what I wanted to do with my life. Yeah.
What process was that? How do you, what's the effort? What do you mean? Can you expand on that a little bit?
Sure. Sometimes people look back on their childhoods. What did you want to do? What were you excited about, dreaming about when you were 8 years old, 9 years old? You know, people say, oh, I wanted to be a firefighter, or I wanted, you know, to be a teacher or a business person. And I really wanted to be a counselor back then. And somewhere along the way, you know, you just end up doing different things. So I did do some of that work, you know, and looked inside and journaled. And talked to friends, talked to family, and just really thought about what gives me energy. That's another way to look at it. Where do you get your energy from? If something's draining you, maybe that's not your calling. If something's giving you energy, then you can take a look at that. You know, if we're talking about careers or anything, really hobbies or, you know, interests. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like what you just shared about when you went back to, like, what did I want to do when I was a kid? Mm-hmm. I mean, there's so many people, you know, me myself as a therapist, I see so many people and they're just not in the right place.
Right.
You know?
Right. Yeah. Well, we get, you know, I mean, life takes its twists and turns, you know, and sometimes we end up doing things that we didn't set out to do. And you wake up one day and that's what happened to me. It's like, do I really want to be doing this? You know? So some thought has to go into it and you have to make the change, which is another step, you know, doing your own inner work and then making the change.
So when you got that idea, I'm going to be a therapist, then what?
Then I started looking at how does one do that? And it's often, you know, you have to get more education with a lot of things, whatever you decide to do, you have to go do the work and, you know, whether it's formal education or, you know, seminars or workshops, whatever you decide to do. So it takes time. That's why it ended up taking me so long, because I ended up doing it very part-time at first and, you know, putting my toe in the water kind of thing, and then gradually more and more until I went full-time into it.
Did you have your BA or master's already?
I did, but it was in a different field. It was in English and creative writing, English literature and creative writing. So I kind of switched. So I had to do some, you know, earlier, you know, prerequisites, all that kind of stuff when you switch fields. But it was all worth it. You know, it's a long haul, but I'm really glad I did it.
I think a lot of people who wish they could do something else and they don't have the education and they know that they need to go back to school to get certified, it's so huge of a commitment, specifically in financial
it
commitment.
It is.
So then I think a lot of people just say, forget it, you know. Did you have any of those thoughts like, oh, I can't afford this, or
I did, sure, like anybody else. That's why I went real part-time at first, you know. I worked, I mean, nowadays most students, especially returning students like myself, you know, you do have a job, you have responsibilities, some people have families. It's hard figuring it all out. It's like a puzzle. But if you feel like you have a calling and something you really want to do, you find a way to make it happen. And you do. You make sacrifices. You know, often when you try something new, you have to give up something old. So for me, you know, you give up a certain lifestyle, you know, for a while you're going to school. You kind of don't do expensive things like you used to do or whatever. And you have to study. You know, you don't play around as much, you know.
I like that. If you what you just said, if you want to try something new, then you might have to give up something old. The old ways of taking up your time, or the familiar ways, or the comfortable ways. I really, really, that really is ringing true to me. So, and I think a lot of people are afraid of the unknown, which is new, right? Mm-hmm. Anything new is the unknown. And so then there's a lot of fear. Mm-hmm. And going back to school, you mentioned you already had your degrees. And so going back to school is hard for folks. And the whole technology mm-hmm. thing is different, right?
It is. In fact, I just taught a class at John F. Kennedy University, and all the students had computers. It wasn't like that when I, you know, first started going. And everybody was, you know, into the internet and quickly doing stuff. And so it's advantageous to have all that technology, but it is. You have to get yourself up to speed. I think of it just like, you know, baby steps. You know, I started with one class, you know, and you have to get back into the swing of studying and focusing. So little by little, chipping away at it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I didn't know my school, Meridian University, had a weekend format. I didn't know if JFK, did you have that choice, an option?
JFK has different tracks you can be on. Uh-huh. When I went as a student, it was, I went on the part-time track. I don't know if they have a weekend program for clinical psychology, for the doctoral program. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So flexibility is important.
It is, and being flexible yourself, mm-hmm. very much so. If you think it's going to go one way, it usually doesn't, you know. Mm-hmm. So the more flexible you can be, the better. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So how are you feeling right now talking about this and sharing this with
us? I am so excited. I am so happy that I'm doing what I want to be doing and that I'm making it happen. It's a lot of work, you know, because it's a psychotherapy practice, but it's also a business, which I've never done before. So I have to put that thinking cap on my head some days, you know, just the nuts and bolts of putting it together. I know you've done that. You've been in practice for quite a while.
Mm-hmm, yes.
So, but it's been fun. It's been really fun, so I'm enjoying myself. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I have no doubts. You're going to be wonderful. You're going to be great because you've done the hard part. Hey, you've got your, you know, your doctor now, you know.
Right.
Yeah, you're a psychologist, you know.
Went
through the exams and studied, and so you're... Yeah, you're going to be fine in your
I think
practice.
That's another reason why I'm so excited these days, because that's behind me.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. This is a radio show for the LGBT community. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your life and how you came to be where you're living. And, you know, give us a little bit of history about who Karen is.
Sure. I came out... Wow, it's been over 25 years now. I was 20, 21 when I finally really came out. Although I thought I knew when I was about 16. And I remember telling my best friend. And I remember him saying, it's just a phase, you know, that kind of thing. So that kind of delayed me for a while. But yeah, I came out to the Bay Area. I was here on a vacation and I loved it. I loved the whole feel of it. Knew that I wanted to move here, so I did. Yeah, packed up the car with my friend, drove across country.
From?
I'm originally from Buffalo, New York.
Ah.
Right. And it was, you know, it was a very accepting place at that time. That was the 80s.
At that time, did you hear that?
Yeah, compared to where, you know, the East Coast, it was a little more liberated out here. Mm. It was kind of in the air, you know, people were proud. So we wanted to be here.
That's terrific.
Yeah.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for sharing.
Sure.
We're going to take a little music break right now. Ari Gold is singing a song that is very close to Diana and my heart. Diana's and my heart, called Back to Me. The lyrics really talk about coming into your own and being true to yourself. And I think Karen has just talked about that. She had a passion. She wasn't happy where she was. She wanted to do something that excited her in life, and she really came back to herself. And thank you so much for sharing that with us, and enjoy Ari Gold. Do 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 do
they were supposed to. What did you do to deserve to be left for? How did you find out you weren't so special? Why did you think there was no love left for you? 'Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. 'Cause what I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I've had too late to learn. I'll give myself back to me. Yeah. Who did I think I was when I forgot me? What could have happened to make me so careless? How did I forget what was most important? Why would I pay for something that was free? 'Cause when I gave myself over, I lost something in return. 'Cause what I gave wasn't mine to give away. But now I found something stronger that I had to live to learn. I'll give myself back to me. I'll give myself this one thing I need. I'll give myself back.
That was Ari Gold singing Back to Me. He's a fabulous singer.
Fabulous.
I hope and encourage everybody to go check him out on the internet. He's got some new music coming out. We are on the phone with Mercedes Gibson. Mercedes, are you there?
I am. Hi.
Hi. How you doing?
I'm fabulous. How are you?
Oh, good. We're both very well. Thank you very much. You're in the studio with Diana and myself, and Karen, our other guest, is in studio as well with you, okay?
Dr. Greenspan.
So, Mercedes, we asked Dr. Greenspan the same question we'd like to ask you. Diana and I put a post out and asked for people to contact us if they wanted to come on our show, and you responded and were curious what appealed to you about coming on our show tonight.
Oh, okay. Well, one of the reasons why I responded is because you talked a little bit about things you're looking forward to in 2011, mm-hmm. and that's pretty relevant for me and probably for a lot of other people, but particularly right now, my life involves a lot of change and transitions, and I felt like it was appropriate for your show, and I also love being on the radio.
I like an honest woman. Thank you for that, Mercedes.
We're always looking for hams, you know.
Oh, yes. I'm a big pork chop.
All right. Hey, we like that. Yeah. So change and transition. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure, yeah. Well, for a long time I've been hearing about Saturn return. I don't know if you folks know about that. But I was just like, okay, it's something that happens to you every 27 years where essentially the stars align and basically there's a lot of change and transition, and a lot of it, or some of it at least, is supposed to be pretty painful. So I haven't really been listening to it, but this is my 27th year, and I hear it now because it's definitely happening to me. There's a job that I worked at for the last 9 years that I got let go of, and I've mostly been working in nonprofit work for the last 10 years, and it's great and it's really fulfilling, but basically the job ended, and then a relationship that I was in for the last 4 years ended, and I don't know, it's kind of easy to feel kind of crazy.
I would say so.
When so much of your security is leaving you. But then also a part of Saturn returns is that there's opportunities involved. So there's some stuff, just projects going on that I'm looking at as opportunities, including being on your show.
Excellent. Wow. So how does somebody recover from a job ending and a relationship ending all pretty much at the same time?
Yeah. Well, I think everyone recovers different. For me, it was about processing what had happened and being nice to myself, being kind to myself, but also trying to stay present and not check out, and understand that, all right, so I need to, like, shake things up and see what else is out there. It definitely is interesting in this economy, and also just what jobs are available and what education you need and what needs to be on your resume. But also I think that, you know, every day is different. I mean, I could say stay positive, but sometimes it's hard to do that. Mm-hmm. So I think that being nice to myself was one way to, even if I'm not feeling positive, to get through it.
I'm curious about that. This is Diana Mercedes. I was struck by what you just said about how do you take care of yourself, because that's so important. And I was pleased to hear you say that. So I would like you to go a little bit deeper into that, to share with the audience about that process for you. How do you do that? You have some examples of how you're kind to yourself or how you take care of yourself.
Sure. Well, I think that having compassion and being compassionate towards other people has done, has just improved my life a lot. And so things that I do to take care of myself, I mean, I could give you the spiel, like yoga and exercising and taking alone time and stuff like that, kind of things that you might be able to guess. But I think that what has helped me take better care of myself is really an attitude shift. Mm-hmm. And when I talk about being compassionate, I mean, essentially, the way that I treat other people is just a reflection of how I feel about myself. So being better to other people and being good to them helps me feel good. I'm not a big, like, self-help book type person, but there are a couple books that I've read that have really helped me, and I think books about Taoism, which is such as the Four Agreements and the Tao of Pooh, which is about Pooh Bear. It's really funny, yet interesting. It's basically the principles of the belief or the spirituality, maybe, put into the context of Pooh Bear and Winnie the Pooh, essentially. But even if you're not interested in that, the things that I've drawn from that is basically, it's like if I'm a circle, not trying to fit myself into a square shape. And so a lot of it has to do with self-acceptance. Mm. And so that's what I'm working on continually. I mean, it could be about 2011, but pretty much it's just the area that I'm trying to grow in, which is self-acceptance. So I think that that's a part of being nice to yourself.
Mm-hmm. So what about your comrades, I mean, your friendships, I mean, do you get a lot of support in that, or do you feel like there's some struggle sometimes to go a different direction with that, with your peers, or no, or yes? How do you feel about that?
Yeah, support, I mean, I I mean, I love my family, but I've never been a big family person. I think that my friends are kind of like my chosen family. And the way it works for me is that different friends provide different things. So, you know, some friends are like friends that I can cry with, and that's totally fine, and that makes sense. And then some friends are friends I can talk to every day, and that works for them. They don't get overwhelmed, or, you know, they're like, you know, friends I can almost even see every day, and it's fine. But basically, you know, different friends meet different needs.
Yeah.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, you sound like doesn't she sound like she's Dr. Greenspan? Doesn't she sound like she's like 50 or 60 or something, huh? She's
I'm
so
really
wise.
Impressed.
I mean, at 27, she's got this friendship thing down. You know what I mean? It's like, who should I hang with? Who I shouldn't hang with? You know, who's going to meet me here or there? Beautiful. Thank you for that, Mercedes.
Yeah, we're all sitting in the studio, Mercedes, just shaking our heads. Yeah. Yes, like, yes, we understand. Yes, we understand. I mean, you're very eloquent, and I think anybody listening to you has been there or, you know, can understand what you're saying and can feel what you're saying. And I think it's tremendous that you're going through a hard time and yet you decide to shift your attitude. You decide to be more compassionate toward other people because it makes you feel good. Mm. You know, I work with students who have really miserable lives and they treat others miserably, and that you could be a good teacher for them.
Yeah.
You know, now you also are a performer, right?
I am a performer.
Can you talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's a part of the change and the transition thing. I wanted to say is just like the last thing you said, you know, also doing things that make you happy. So like talking to people about myself makes me happy. So, you know, that's what I'm doing right now, so I'm in a pretty upbeat mood. But anyway, I am a performer, but however, I've always been a performer, but I haven't really explored it as much as I would like to because I've been doing nonprofit work since I was essentially 15, because those are some of the opportunities that the Bay Area presents for young people to work, youth to work, and then kind of transition to an adult and then kind of continue that community work. So I'm very grateful for that. But right now, part of the change and transition is exploring my performer side and that being okay and not feeling, I don't know, I guess I've just always felt like I should be working for the community and I should be doing something that's like serious and is bringing about social change. But you know, I also realize that performance does that too. So I'm exploring that right now in 2011.
So what kind of things are you exploring?
Well, they're kind of intense. So right now I'm working with my partner. I don't know if you've heard of her. Her name is Anna Martine Whitehead. And basically she's been doing performance for a long time. It's what she went to school for. And essentially I've been kind of like soliciting her to do performance, and really what I've done is more like drag in the past, so it's just like song and dance. It's really light and cheerful, and Anna's performance has been more artistic, and I mean that was artistic too, but it's been a lot about body movement and exploring things and, you know, kind of more on the serious side. So we're combining forces, and basically I would say a lot of what we're exploring is trust, building trust with each other, but also through that, what I've been doing is kind of looking at family relationships and ethnicity and race and identity and community. And I mean, I am a queer mix girl, so there's a lot that comes with being brown and mix and queer. And essentially, we're gearing up for two performances that are happening. They're coming up, one in January on the second Sunday at Counterpulse. And there's another performance called Too Much, which is a queer marathon, which essentially is 50 artists performing in three rooms at the same time.
Are people watching, too?
Yes, definitely. It's for an audience. And I think the last time they did it, they had 60 artists. This time it's 50. Last time it was 60, and it was a single day, and it was 10 hours of nonstop performance. and over 300 people came. So that's going to be the Too Much Queer Marathon. And then the Counterpulse Second Sundays will be really good for me because it will be basically a salon where artists come, they share the performance, and then they get feedback from other artists and from the group. And I love performing. I love entertaining people. I think it's amazing, but I don't have a lot of experience in it. I've mostly done outreach and, you know, working in the office and doing collaboratives with different nonprofit organizations and doing, you know, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, queer, and questioning, working with, like, youth and doing programming. So this is an opportunity, I think, that has presented itself to the universe that I'm pursuing. And we'll see how it goes.
That's terrific that you're taking these risks, Mercedes, and doing something new. We were just talking about that before you came on the phone, about doing something new. Dr. Greenspan said earlier that to do something new, you have to give up something old. Mm-hmm. Do you agree with that? And if you do, what old have you given up, do you think, to pursue the new?
Well, that's deep. That's a deep question.
I know.
No, it's good. It's great. Basically, there are things that I would like to let go of, and so I'm hoping that something that I'm letting go of in order to, you know, pursue this new avenue would be, I would say, shame, and to another extent, self-hatred, although that sounds kind of intense, but it's very real. I think a lot of times fear, and maybe fear also can, like, self-hatred and shame can live in fear, but basically fear essentially stops me from doing a lot of stuff, or just makes me worry about it, or makes me generally unhappy. So, but I haven't, like, given it up, because it's very rooted in my body. But I can acknowledge that and work towards not being so afraid.
Do you mind sharing about what some faces of fear that you might be, you know, dealing with?
Sure. Yeah. I mean, fear. For instance, shame. In my opinion, shame is never helpful. It's never good. I think accountability is good, but I think that's different from shame. So, when I talk about shame or when I talk about fear, I mean, like, you know, like, I could thoughts like, you know, no one wants to come and see me perform. No one cares about what I have to say. I think for me, I grew up poor, and as soon as I got out of high school, or even before I got out of high school, I was working, but pretty much I took on a full-time job and supported myself. I did not have, like, a college education, and so, you know, like, being like, okay, so what I have to say is not valid because I didn't go to a four-year university. I haven't had a formal education. You know, I think, like, that's where the shame piece comes in. Mm-hmm. Or even day-to-day insecurities about the way I look, about who I am, and also, judgments from other people. I mean, now that my 9-year job is over, I've been working a lot of different odd jobs, which is great. I'm grateful for them, but it puts me in different situations. And so seeing other people's disapproval, I look too gay, or, you know, something like that. So I think that to fight against that stuff, I do think that the less shame you have, the less tools people have against you. And I do think that shame is connected to fear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you made some great points. Really important points. Thank you so much for being so honest and open with that question. It's hard for a lot of people to talk about shame and fear and being, you know, self-doubtful and all of that stuff, and being self-critical. But I see how you've learned to nurture yourself and how to come back to yourself and how to own that. There's a voice inside of you that's strong as well. So that's really wonderful. Seems like you're doing really wonderful work.
Yeah, I really take my hat off to you, Mercedes. Seriously, I could listen to you all night talking about your journey. Yeah, because it's not a lot of people who are so reflective and can say those negative voices to actually give them voice on air. Like, nobody wants to come and see me, and kind of, you know, being truthful about that side of you that we all have. A lot of people don't share that, and it takes a lot of courage to put that out there, and I really want to thank you. You know, we're going to be playing a song that I'm so glad we chose this song, because it's Cyndi Lauper's True Colors.
Oh, yeah.
And we really, both of us, Diana and myself, we want to encourage you to continue to show your true colors to the world.
Oh.
Thank you so much for being on our show with us. I know that your minutes are up on your cell. We don't want to eat your minutes up. So
thank you.
Maybe perhaps you could come. We can talk to you again sometime on our show, Mercedes.
Of course. It's been so nice to talk to you. It's been really wonderful. And I am super humbled that you are interested in what I have to say. And I hope that your listeners were able to benefit from it too, somehow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Thank you so much again.
Yeah. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Good luck with your performances, Mercedes.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Like a rainbow. I'm Sister Sarah Femme Fatale of the Russian River Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence, and you are listening to Outbeat Radio on KRCB-FM, Santa Rosa.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof. I'm Sheridan. Next to me is
Diana.
Diana.
Dr. Di.
We have Dr. Karen Greenspan in studio with us and Jeff, our engineer. And we just finished an amazing interview with Mercedes Gibson, a young woman who is finding her way. And it was deeply, deeply touching. Thank you, Mercedes. So we are back in studio with you, Ms. Karen. And during the break and during Cyndi Lauper's True Colors, you were telling us that you used to be in a rock band.
I was indeed.
Tell us a little bit about that. I played
the bass in a band called Pucker. I wish I had brought the CD. Uh-huh. My former bandmates would be psyched to hear it on the radio. You'll be getting it in the mail.
Excellent. We shall play it.
Yeah.
And I still play music. You know, I mean, it's such a great outlet. It's something you can do your whole life.
What do you play? What instrument?
I play guitar and bass. In fact, I was jamming last night with friends. Okay. And it's just a great way to connect, you know, with yourself and with other people.
Mm-hmm.
It's
absolutely
a lot of fun. Yeah.
Yeah, I grew up playing flute, classical flute.
Great.
And all the way through college, and now I play drum. I play African drum, and I play taiko drum. And yeah,
she
music
loves
is,
her music.
It's got to be there.
That's great. We should jam.
Yeah, we should jam. Mm-hmm. I mean, talk about soul. Our show is kind of about soul, and you know, you got to find something that feeds your soul, because yeah. life can get very hard. You know, if your soul can't sing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't have much time left, unfortunately, but we do have some questions to ask you.
Okay.
So we're going to all answer these also. Jeff, me, and Diana, hopefully, if we have enough time. But Karen, you get to start us off. And so we have three questions for the new year. So what's one thing that you would like to let go of that's not serving you? What's one thing that you would like to keep that you really love about life or about yourself? And then what's one thing that you would like to try? It's a goal or accomplishment for the year.
Okay. It took me a while to think about this stuff. The letting go of, for me, it would be expectations, because I've found for myself that can get me in trouble, you know, going into a certain situation or life situation and things don't go the way I would have expected them to go. So it's better just to enter something without any, you know, expectations and go with the flow and be flexible and have a really good time, you know, with what's happening. So in terms of expectations for the new year, I don't know how it's going to go. You know, I'm just going to keep chipping away at what I like to do and trust that in the process of it all. The thing that I would like to keep this year, I really worked on a gratitude kind of practice daily, and that's been amazing. And Mercedes, what she said about when she was talking about self-care, she said it really, she does all these things like yoga and is kind to herself, but a big difference for her was an attitude change.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also found that to be true for myself and for lots of people. And one way to start that attitude change is to have a gratitude practice where you basically daily, for me, I think about three things that I'm grateful for every day. And you can be in the worst mood and you sit down, you do this practice and you're by the end of it, you're feeling grateful and you're in a much better mood, a much better place. And then the third thing was, what do I want to have happen or come to manifest in 2011? I think it would be new relationships. One thing I want to do is reach out more to people. I'm actually pretty new to Sonoma County. Seems like a wonderful place to live and to work. So I would love to make new connections here in Sonoma County.
Those sound really well thought out and stuff. I'm making new connections. Could you give your website or your information for people if they'd like to contact you?
Sure. My website is www.drkarengreenspan.com. And you can also call me at 707-781-6894.
You say that one more time, 707-781-6894.
All right. Well,
so I hope to hear from people.
Yeah. Hope that works out.
Thank you. And thank you for having me.
You're very welcome. Mm-hmm. So, Mr. Jeff.
Yes.
Hello.
Miss Gold.
They call me Miss G, baby.
Miss G.
All right. So you went someplace in this last couple 5 days.
I did. I was gone for 4 nights and 5 days at a retreat called the Billy Club. And the retreat itself was called Staying Warm, which was the theme of the retreat. But if anyone out there has not heard of the Billy Club, you should point your web browser to www.billyclub.org. It's now known as the Billies rather than the Billy Club. Billy Club is something that a police officer would hit someone with or something. So we've kind of changed our name. Anyway, so yes, I was at that retreat and had just an absolutely wonderful time. The core ritual of that retreat that happens every day is called Heart Circle. And you sit in circle with all the other attendees that choose to come to Heart Circle. It's not a mandatory thing at all, but everyone that else is there sits, and you have a talisman that gets passed. And when you have the talisman, you're free to speak. There's no crosstalk. There's no comments. There's no response, really, other than a simple hiss to acknowledge that someone is either relating to what you said, agrees with it, etc. So that's the core ritual that we do each day. And as the days go on, 3-4 days, and you're really in this heart space, and you're talking about these really deep emotional things, it just gets deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper. And this morning's Heart Circle was just so powerful, probably the most powerful one that I've been in the 3.5 years that I've been going to these retreats. So, again, if you missed that website, it's www.billyclub.org.
Thank you for that.
Yeah. So, Jeff, can you answer the 3 questions?
I think I can. The first 2 answers are related, sort of. So I'm going to answer those together, and then I'll answer the 3rd one. So the first 2 answers have to do with my work as a sister of perpetual indulgence. And the fact that as a sister, I'm in a lot of situations where I am standing up for someone else. That either has been wronged, or someone that I feel has been treated in a bad way, or you could substitute that someone else to be myself. I mean, and either as a sister or just as Jeff, I've been in a lot of that situation this year, and I've been, instead of just taking it, I've been standing up against it. But that results, as what Mercedes was saying, in fear inside myself as to what is going to happen because I've stood up for someone, because I've stood up for what I know is right. And so that is what I want to let go. I want to let go that fear that comes on when I know that I've done what needed to be done, but it's still something, that generates fear. So letting that go, keeping in my life, also has to do with the sisters. And that is the realization over the last year and a half that I've been a sister. The joy and the love that I have for absolutely every single person that I meet, I have really concentrated on seeing the happiness and the joy and the love coming from someone when I meet them. And so I don't want to ever lose that. So I want to retain that. And like Dr. Greenspan said, the 3rd question and what I want to welcome into my life is new relationships. And to be them friendships, romantic, whatever type they are. It's something that I always want in my life, I always feel more complete with a relationship. So that's my answers to those New Year's questions.
Thank you, Jeff.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah, okay, sure. Shara, I think it's your turn. I know we're running out of time, so let's make it quick.
Okay, fine. What I want to let go of is my urge, yearning, need to take care of other people. And like just this weekend, I was talking to my sister and she said, oh, I'm having a heck of a time starting this fire. And I said, well, how are you doing it? She said, oh, with a fire starter and some wood. I said, well, what kind of wood? Oh, this oak. I said, you don't have any kindling. She goes, no, I don't have any kindling. And instead of me saying something like, well, you need to go get yourself some kindling, I said, well, you can come over here and get kindling. And it's like, she knows that she can come over and get kindling, but I don't have to always, you know, try to help people and take away their own ideas of what they should do. I don't know. I just have this ongoing theme. What I want to keep is my enthusiasm for music and art and grow that even more deeply. And then what I want to try to accomplish is even more spirituality. I have a little bit, I'm touching a little bit with our sweat lodges, but I want to even incorporate it more in my life. Diana?
Okay, I'm going to do this real quick because I know Jeff giving me that evil eye. It's time to go. So I'm going to get rid of worry. You know, I'm going to let go of the small stuff. I don't want to worry. As far as what I want to keep, I want to keep the routines that I have, like my exercise routine, my spirituality, my creativity. I love those things. They fulfill me. They make me happy. And what I want to do more of, I want to add to my life more relationships, yeah, but people who want to play cards and laugh. I want to do more laughter. Yes.
All right. So, gosh, our hour's up already. We want to thank you so much for joining us. Karen Greenspan, Dr. Greenspan, thank you so much for joining
thank
us tonight.
You.
Mercedes out there, thank you, Mercedes. Everybody, please have a great, wonderful 2011. Remember that you too can be living proof that you can manifest the dreams and hopes and soul's desire that you want.
Yes.
Be good to yourself.
Be good.
Be kind to yourself. Treat others kindly. Go in peace.
Good night. Good night.
Yeah. What have you done today to make you feel wrong? It's never too late to try.
Oh, we're fine.
What have you done?